Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network.
Hoosier Football Tailgate is sponsored by BetOnline. BetOnline is where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Hoosier Football Tailgate right here on Believe Wednesday, April 17th. About 24 hours out from the Hoosiers and the spring game that takes center stage tomorrow night at Memorial Stadium. 8 o'clock, the kickoff. And if you can't come, the Big Ten Network will carry the spring game as well. And looking forward to a night of fun. And also a very good showing by the Hoosiers. We will get into some of that here in a short while. But before we do that, got to thank BetOnline for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. BetOnline is the number one source for all sports wagering. You've got NBA basketball playoffs starting. You've got Major League Baseball in full swing now. That's up and going. All the things that you want to bet on, believe me, BetOnline has it. You can get to that by on your computer or your phone, betonline.ag. Remember, use the promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, on your first deposit and get a 50% bonus on that as well. BetOnline is where the game starts. And also, if you could do me a favor for me as well on YouTube, especially subscribe to our YouTube channel, please, as well as if you have any comments, suggestions, share all those good things that help me on the YouTube channel. Greatly appreciate that as well. And then if you, by subscribing, you can hit that notification bell. So anytime that I drop a video, you will know about it. And again, I appreciate you all for coming in and joining me here on Hoosier Football Tailgate here in the off season, especially. And then when we get going into the year, we'll be doing these things twice a week to get you ready for any Saturday contest. But today, I want to get ready for the spring game. As I said, tomorrow night in Memorial Stadium at 8 o'clock, I'm going to give you all the details of what you can expect at the spring game, kind of the point scoring system, how it's going to be divided up, so forth and so on. And then, of course, what to look for during the game. But first, I want to talk briefly here about some recruiting things that have popped up here over the last couple of days. We talked about last week the Bond kid that committed out of Virginia, wide receiver with great speed. Today we had some portal news come on, and I wanted to get into that here a little bit. with what is going on with the portal right now. The big one today that came about was Brock Lowry announcing he's in the portal, as well as the Derek Bowler kid. Both entered the portal. Brock Lowry really doesn't surprise me. You know, the other big one was Trent Holland entering the portal. Now he's second time. Remember, he entered prior to Coach Cignetti being hired. Then he came back, and now he's back in. I do think the Holland kid, that to me, I wish he wouldn't have, because I thought he was a great change of pace guy. 6'3", he's 230-plus pounds. You know, I liked what he had to show last year. But we all knew that running back room is heavily loaded with talent and the competitiveness in that room. And he maybe didn't see an opportunity there for him. So he's going to test the waters there and see what all happens. With that, I know that he's got some early interest from Western Michigan and I believe Minnesota. And then Brock Lowry, he just jumped in, so we'll have to wait and see where that young man goes. Again, with you had Rourke transfer in this year, Taven last year. You got Tyler Cherry, a four-star recruit coming in, that's in right now, and then Alberto Mendoza out of Miami. And I'm sure Brock just didn't feel like there was going to be an avenue for him, and he's going to go look for an opportunity to play somewhere. And you can never hold that against a kid, because these kids are looking for that opportunity. And if that is at someplace else, then so be it. And you got to take advantage of the way the NCAA is right now. You know, there's no limit on the number of times you can transfer at the present moment. You've got this name, image, and likeness situation. Maybe a kid can go somewhere else and monetize off of that. Who knows? But you really can't hold that against them. You know, some other guys, the Perry kid, who was a freshman out of Marietta, Georgia, wide receiver, also was in there. And then a few other guys that had jumped in there. One was the Lang kid, defensive player off the edge, and then Phillip, who also was another one that you hate to see leave because of what he showed last year, but it looks like he may be going to Oklahoma or Auburn. So unfortunately, that's the name of the game right now, and these transfer portals can hurt sometimes and help sometimes. So I'm sure Indiana right now is looking very intently at the portal, especially at some positions that they feel that they need help at. And I'm sure they're actively looking daily on those individuals that may add up. But right now, those kids are on their way out, and we wish them nothing but the best of luck. And solid kids leaving the Hoosiers, you can get from that standpoint. Then on the freshman commits, right now they stand, I believe, at 7. Remember, Bond was last week, a big one. And then they've had some other ones come about this week at the moment. The big one, Daniels, the kid from St. Thomas Aquinas down there in Florida. He's listed as a safety at 6'1", 183 pounds. When I was at Ball State as an assistant football coach, I recruited Florida, the Eastern Seaboard, and I had Thomas Aquinas, and that is a big-time high school. Anytime that I would go in to see the coach down there, you would be one of 15 waiting to get in to see the head coach. And it took forever, but you knew that going in. And it, you know, there were different divisions there, you know, all the way from the big time guys all the way down to Division II, Division III. But Thomas Aquinas has put out a lot of players into the college game as well as the NFL. But, you know, you go back, because down there they have spring practice, which is getting ready to start up. So you get the chance to go out and watch these kids go through spring ball. And when I would go there, there'd be, you know, after meeting during the day and coming back in the afternoon, it'd be like a mini national coaches clinic there, because there'd be everybody from everywhere. I remember one time, I think it was Sam Pittman. He was there putting, you know, watching kids. And then later that night, they, you know, invited guys to go do some X and O. You name it, there was a top line coaches there at Aquinas. So getting a kid out of there, especially one that you think's a D1 prospect, is not easy. And getting the Daniels kids, I think, says a lot. I think they've got two good other DBs, the Garrett Reese, who's out of Illinois, and the Baldwin kid, who is out of Maryland. Again, another very good area to go recruit and all that. Evan Parker, I've seen play. Big kid, 6'4", 305. I'm anxious to see Coach Bobstead get him really develop this young man. I think he's got all the things you're looking for a big fella. He moves pretty good, you know, left to right and then north and south. I think he moves well. The Merrick kid out of Carl Sandburg, another top-notch school coming in. You're going to get, you know, when I talk about these kids, you're going to get kids that have been in programs that are well-coached. They're well-coached kids, and you're getting a good darn football player walking through your doors. And then Blake, I think it's Thyrie, the kid from up there in Wisconsin, tight end, 6'4", 215. Again, another kid that can come in and develop and get into the system. I have not watched filmed on him yet, but I plan on to. But when you get a kid out of Wisconsin, especially D1 kid, you know, I think Coach Bobstead can validate any of those kids in the Wisconsin area that they can get to come are going to be solid kids and solid football players. So right now you can say the 25 recruiting class is looking pretty darn good. Now remember, these are all verbals. That doesn't mean they're binding. They can, you know, break their commitment, move on, whatever. And that's what you've got to do, because even though they said they're coming, you got to recruit them all the way up till December, until that first signing period. And once that signing is done, then you can breathe a sigh of relief, so to speak. But sometimes when you get these kids to commit, they're the hardest ones to stay committed, because all of a sudden they'll get a lot more attention from schools and they'll be trying to flip them. And that's not to say Indiana's not trying to do the same thing, but a good solid base for this recruiting class. You know, one thing I would say on this is this to me will be Coach Cignetti's first recruiting class. I know last year he signed a class, but the circumstances and how that came about and how he came in, and you know, he got some good kids to come. Don't forget about that, Tyler Cherry being one of them. But I look at this as his true first recruiting class that he's had a whole year to recruit these kids. And that's what you've seen, you know, each and every week on X about a kid coming in for visits. You know, I've read some of the comments, maybe some of the kids that talk, or, you know, there was an interview done. You know, I think Coach Cignetti is a darn good recruiter. I think he conveys his message very well of what he expects and what he's looking for and how and what he's going to do at Indiana. And that's made an impression on the kids that have come thus far to visit this spring. So I think in this sense that this is the class you kind of have to judge the recruiting aspect of things more so than last year's. But good solid start there. We've had the transfer portal news, and like, you know, that whole thing there is, you know, it is what it is. Just like the, you know, you can transfer a number of times, is unlimited at this point in time. So you just don't know. I hope some kids that maybe were expecting to potentially start this year, and maybe it doesn't look like it, they're going to be a backup. I hope they stick it out. I hope those kids grow within the system, and I hope that when the opportunity presents itself to be the number one guy a year from now, they jump all over it and they're better prepared for it. We'll have to see what all happens as the portal just opened up a day ago. So you're going to see maybe some more jump in after the spring game and after they have had a chance to sit down with their position coach, evaluate their performance and kind of where they see them, stack up in the group, as well as what they, you know, gain from being talked to by Coach Cignetti as well. So, you know, each and every kid, like I said, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that every practice was evaluated, graded on every kid by every position coach. So they've now got a little dossier of their performance and kind of where a kid stands, you know, a better understanding of each other, and they can have true one-on-one, you know, discussions about where they're at, what they do well, what they need to improve, both in the weight room and on the field, and get an idea of where they sit on the depth chart. And hopefully, like I said, there may be some disappointment, but I hope enough kids value the fact that they're getting an opportunity to try to do something, and they're going to be a big part of it, because you may be number two today, but you're one step away from being number one. And so patience and being prepared for the time that you get that opportunity. You've got to be ready to go no matter what. So, like I said, good, solid recruiting class thus far. Hate to see Brock Lowry and Holland enter the portal, but it is what it is. I hope, you know, my biggest concern now with that happening is, you know, Taven's mindset. And he's one that I would talk to about being patient and understanding his time is going to come, and it's going to come sooner than he thinks it is, if that's the fact and he is, you know, not the number one guy. Because I do think with some good commitment on and off the field, getting coached by not only Tino, but Coach Cignetti, that he can see that the opportunity is going to be there. If for whatever reason he happens to jump into the portal, I do have concern then, because you now lose two kids that have somewhat experience, Taven having a lot of experience for the most part, and Lowry limited experience, but, you know, they're engrossed or engaged with college football. And now you drop down to two freshman kids as being your twos and threes, and whatever walk-ons you have. That's a little scary, because now you got two freshmen that are a snap away from playing if Taven would do that. I'm not saying he will. I'm hoping that he won't. But I don't think you can sit around and play dumb and act surprised if he does. But I like him, and I think he's got a bright future. Again, I think he's got a bright future with Indiana with what he's got there coaching him. And I hope he understands that and understands he's still got some years under his belt, and he can become a darn good quarterback. But we'll wait and see, and knock on wood, that will not come to fruition, and he will stay and be a Hoosier and, you know, abide by his time and see what all happens. Well, enough of that. Let's talk a little bit about the spring game and what you can expect as it pertains to the layout of the spring game. Right now, it's going to be 2 15-minute halves, so it's not going to be your typical four-quarter football game in that regard. It's going to be your offense versus defense, what they've been doing all spring, ones versus ones, twos versus twos, so forth and so on. A touchdown is worth six. You got the extra point, of course. Field goal is three. Turnover gain is 4 points. A defense getting a stop is 4 points. And, of course, safety equals two. But I think it's a very competitive point balance there. I've done this before as well. It does create some great competition. Defense, you know, having their chance to score points as well. They potentially can pick up a lot of points if they get an interception and return it for a touchdown. you know, because that could be a lot of points for that score. But right now, very basic breakdown, offense versus defense. And it's a little different from what, you know, I've been accustomed to. But again, being that it is Little Five weekend, and this probably will be a part of a regular practice routine. You know, I don't know if they're going to do anything prior to actually lining up offense and defense, because of the way this practice is laid out. But, you know, this basically would be a period of practice that they would do normally, and just adding two periods to it of 15 minutes each and going at it there. But, you know, in my day, how we did it is we would, you know, divide the seniors equally, offense, defense, and all that good stuff. And then we'd hold a draft, just like you would see in the NFL, and the kids will draft their teams. And that was the two teams, and you let them go. But again, remember when Coach Cignetti came in, he wasn't aware of everything that was happening in Indiana, and they're not actually going to use all of their spring practices as well. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he'll take as many practices as he needs, but he's not going to take and do unnecessary practices just for the sake of practicing. And a lot of times what you have left, especially like after you haven't used all your practices, the most of them are you're out running around in your underwear. And so that's, I believe, what I, you know, would gather is that while this is not taking advantage of all the practice you're allotted, a lot of that has to do with the layout of how spring practice went, and then him being unfamiliar with the Little Five and all that stuff. So I think you'll see a different spring type of setup next year, where this truly is the end of spring practice, the number of practices you're allowed, because he'll have a better understanding what to expect during the spring period, and something like the Little Five and its magnitude on campus that creates. But, you know, I hope everybody can get out tomorrow night in Memorial Stadium. Again, 8:00 kickoff. I do believe it is free admission for anybody that comes. First come, first serve on the seating. I hope we get a great turnout, not only from the loyal fans, but as the student body as well, as being the kickoff event for Little Five. I do think there will be some food service there at the stadium, as well as beverage service, including beer, will also be there. Fingers crossed that we have good weather and we're not threatened by thunderstorms and things of that magnitude. But and the parking, I forgot that one. Parking is also free. And you may want to check this out on the IU website just to make sure that what I'm saying is confirmed by your own looking up. But the way I understand it, 6:00, I think the thing's going to open up, and 8:00 we'll start the scrimmage. And of course the parking is free, and hope we have a great turnout there. And yours truly will be there at the Memorial Stadium Thursday night. I'm looking forward to seeing Indiana and everybody's first opportunity to really see them on the field, you know, in an 11-on-11 concept, because none of the practices or previous scrimmages have been open to the public, I don't think. They may have had after scrimmage pressers, but I don't necessarily think the entire practices were open for the outside world, including the media. So this will be the really first time to really get a true feel on the identity that Coach Cignetti has built up to this point of spring, and it, you know, culminates in the stadium on Thursday night. Now, I think there's some things to look for as we look at this game, kind of some of the keys to spring and, you know, what you can look for. I think the biggest thing is staying healthy. I think I'm just guessing here that the game will be more likely a thud concept and not a tackle to the ground. As you know, in spring, you've only got so many practices that you can have 11-on-11 full contact. I'm not quite sure if that's going to be the case on Thursday. I watched a little bit of Ohio State's spring game, and they did the thud concept. And what that means is, you know, if you have a chance to wrap up an offensive player, you just wrap him up. You don't take him to the ground. And also, it's kind of like a tag off type of concept as well, because you don't want guys diving. It's all for the purpose of staying healthy. The worst thing that could ever happen is that you've got your best player out there and something happens and it ends up taking him out for the season because of something that happens in the spring. I've seen it happen. It's not, you know, you feel like, well, what's this worth overall when this happens? But I think the biggest thing for tomorrow night, stay healthy, stay off the ground, and, you know, no chopping and things of that nature. I think the quarterback will definitely not be live, which means that the referee will have a quick whistle, especially if he feels the sack will be committed. So that's the biggest thing, is staying healthy tomorrow night on the field. Has the quarterback competition truly been solidified by either Rourke or Taven? You know, I think Coach Cignetti had tipped his hand when he really talked about Curtis and his progression through the spring and how he felt with him in the offense, and felt he kind of really separated himself here towards the latter part of these practices. The biggest thing there is, like I said, is that if Taven is going to be the number two guy, realizing you're one step away and your opportunity will come sooner rather than later. Because you always have to have another quarterback ready, prepared to go. But right now, I think, you know, that will be the question. I'm not quite sure he'll give the answer as it pertains to who's going to be the number one. I don't necessarily think that will be something that we'll see until it comes to fall practice, but it'll be interesting to see that. I do think in tomorrow's scrimmage, I do think you'll see a rotation at quarterback as well. I think you'll see Tyler get some quality reps as well as Taven. They've only got three quarterbacks now. So with Brock Lowry going into the portal, he won't be a part of this, which, you know, may or may not create problems, but I do think you'll see a healthy competition and rotation there at quarterback. And we'll see what all happens from that standpoint during the game. But with the number of running backs that they have and wide receivers, there's a lot of positions that have a lot of competitive balance in with a lot of numbers. So it's going to be important to see if you can get guys in and out and get the quality reps you need just with having two 15-minute halves, which I think they will. I don't think it'll be a problem, but you know, they'll have a chart on number of plays that a team can go or a side of the offense can go. They may be able to do 8 plays, but they'll top them off at 15 if they're in the middle of a drive or something of that magnitude. But I'm interested to see the quarterback position and how that plays out, as well as wide receiver and running back. The next area, I think, is how does the O-line look and has the depth been resolved there? I know when going into spring that there were a lot of interior guys, offense and defense, that weren't able to participate this spring due to injury. And, you know, something that, you know, surgery from last year, even some of the transfers coming in, it affected them. But it has allowed some of the younger guys to get a really good quality coaching and reps and teach the fundamentals and techniques that I'm kind of anxious to see how that O-line really looks and their depth. Because we've known that that's been a problem for Indiana over the year when it comes to the offensive line and their depth. And do they have the adequate number of guys that can play Big Ten football? And I think we'll get a chance to get a peek at that tomorrow night as well, which I think will be interesting to see how Coach Bob Stett has come with them. Again, Coach Cignetti preached this religiously about not just his defense, but the entire team, that they represent a fast, physical, and relentless defense. And tomorrow night, where you're probably going to get a lot of vanilla on both sides of the ball, and I mean that you're not going to see all the different bells and whistles that the offense or defense has, but when you got a defense that's lined up and playing pretty base, you want to see guys that are flying around. You want to see guys that are fast, physical, relentless on both sides of the ball. And you know, just remember, like I said, you may not see some things that you were hoping to see, because that was the chatter online or whatever about, you know, they're going to be this or that. And you come to the spring game, you find out, wow, they didn't really do anything. There's a reason for that. Remember, this game is broadcast. That means everybody in the world will have a chance to tape it, record it, I should say. Everybody in the Big Ten is going to record it. And every team that plays them, they're going to record it, because it'll give them a first look of kind of personnel and who they have, who they don't have, and kind of what they do, what is their base. It's not going to overly tip their hand one way or the other, Indiana, in terms of what they're going to do offensively, defensively, as they get into the season. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of anything in terms of a lot of the exotic type of things that you may see in creative formations and such like that. I just don't see it seeing that as well as I don't think you're going to see a defense pinning their ears back and running these, you know, combination blitzes and such. Now, I may be totally wrong, but I doubt it. I've been around coaches long enough. That's the one thing about spring games. They don't want to show too much and tip their hand one way or the other. But they do want a team that's fast, physical, and relentless, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Are they getting 11 helmets to the ball? You know, is there guys breaking down and getting 11 hats on the football each and every time? Is that consistent? Or do you have guys that are straggling around? You know, that will be to be determined, but anxious to kind of see that and that, see if that mentality comes across tomorrow night as well. Last two things here, identify where you need help and depth at a position, and are things crisp and clean? Well, first we'll take the first one there. All through spring, this has already been done. Tomorrow night, I don't think there's going to be some, you know, white light bulb go off in somebody's head, offense or defense or Coach Cignetti, and say, oh my gosh, we need help here. We got to go out and do this, this, and this. I think that as they've gone through spring, that's already been done. And I think they're actively recruiting the portal as I speak for those areas of concern that they have in trying to get some depth. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if I, you know, anybody can pick up on that just observing the game tomorrow night. Can you identify an area where there's concern and you might need some depth? Now, we already know the defensive line is one area that they're going to need help in, and they're going to need some depth at, because they're pretty light there. On maybe in the secondary, but I would say right now they're actively looking the portal to see what is out there and what they can get, and if they fit the makeup. With Brock Lowry leaving, do you have to get another one? Do you have to go out and find another quarterback just for the fact that right now you've got three? God forbid one would leave, but do you have enough depth at quarterback now? And does that mean you need to go out and, you know, find another one? Now, I'm sure, you know, they're recruiting pretty hard quarterbacks that are out there in this recruiting class, but do you need to find somebody that can provide depth, whatever that may be? And, you know, again, we know where Tyler's at in his development, and Coach Cignetti has said this. He's not ready. I'm sure as time progresses and he's got this spring under his belt and he'll be there down in the summer and he'll learn more, he'll become more ready as they enter fall camp. But Alf Mendoza will come on campus just like Tyler did in the spring, not having gone through any of this. So by the time they get to the week one, you know, it's not, you know, I don't think Mendoza is going to be the number two guy or the three guy, because I don't think he'll be ready necessarily, but we'll see in that regard. But do they have to go get one just for the sake of getting one? I don't know. I doubt it from Coach Cignetti's point of view. Unless there was someone in the portal that they knew of and has 3 or 4 years left in eligibility from that standpoint. But I do think safety and defensive line are two areas that they will desperately need in this thing moving forward. The last thing there is, are things crisp and clean? Excuse me there while I refresh my voice. I think the thing here is when you get into the type of scenario that you have tomorrow night, you're going to have limited repetitions. It's 2 15-minute periods and offense versus defense. I think what you're looking to see in a crisp and clean type of game, and what I mean by that is, are the guys on the field look like they're coached? Meaning they understand their assignment, they understand their technique, and they're executing it. And after that play, they're you know, on top of it, they're ready to go. You know, things of that magnitude, where they're you know, ready to play the next down. You know, forget the last play, play the next play mentality. Do you see that on both sides of the ball, being crisp and clean on what they do? When they run a play, does it look like the play has been coached all spring, or does it look like, man, they have no clue on what's going on? And that's one of the things that I think coaches are always attentive to, is when I throw on the tape, I want to look like a team that's coached. I want to look like a team that knows what they're doing out there and not doing stupid things. And they understand that, you know, you don't move until the ball moves. Defense and offense, you got to know the snap count before you're not jumping off sides and things of those, the little things that ultimately can lead to you getting beat. And so you want to see guys that are, you know, crisp and clean in the scrimmage, and you want to see each position looking like their coach and running crisp technique in their fundamentals, everything. So each and every time you see the ball in play, you've got 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, knowing what to do and executing it. And that's what I mean by being crisp and clean in that regard. So especially when you're playing a vanilla type of thing offensively and defensively, and you're just utilizing your base stuff, you definitely want to see something like that on the film. A team that looks like they're coached and everything is crisp and it's clean and there's not a lot of junk in that regard. So I think that's a big important part of tomorrow night. At least I do believe that's in the mindset of the coaches and Coach Cignetti with all that. So I'm hoping that tomorrow's a great evening. I hope the weather is great. I hope that we have a good turnout in Memorial Stadium. If you happen to see me running around there or walking around the corridors, don't stop. Don't hesitate to step up and say hello, introduce yourself, and we'll see what we got from these Hoosiers when they hit the field tomorrow night in Memorial Stadium at 8 o'clock. Remember, Bet Online is your number one source for all things sports wagering. You can get it on your laptop, desktop, or any mobile device at betonline.ag. Remember, Bet Online is where the game starts. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube channel as well as Facebook. On YouTube, if you subscribe to the channel, you can hit the notification bell that will let you know each and every time that a new video is being dropped. And I do appreciate those that have done that already. I thank you very much. And anybody else that can help us along the way, I would greatly appreciate it. Looking forward to tomorrow night to see the Hoosiers in Memorial Stadium lining up for a true 11-on-11 game-like scenarios at 8 o'clock. For now, I am the coach, Shannon Griffith, and thank you for joining me right here on the Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network. We'll see you next time.
Shannon Griffith, here on the Believe Network.